It's supposed to be 70 degrees today. It's freezing here. Speaking of global warming, we need some global warming. It's freezing.
The most criticized scene in the movie An Inconvenient Truth was showing that the combination of sea level rise and storm surge would flood the 9/11 memorial site. And people said, what a terrible exaggeration.
Hurricane Sandy slammed into New York City last night, flooding the World Trade Center site.
Storms get stronger and more destructive. Watch the water splash off the city. This is global warming.
I felt so scared. Sorry.
Despair can be paralyzing, but this to me is the most exciting new development. We're seeing a tremendous amount of positive change. The basis is there, but it's still not enough.
An inconvenient sequel. We just saw the trailer for this Al Gore-produced film, and An Inconvenient Truth was the original movie, and that was actually a documentary based on something that Al Gore had been working on for years as a legislator. He had been in, he actually was one of the early politicians to look at global warming and perceive it as being a threat. And actually, it was almost like it was a filmed version of his presentation that his slideshow that he would do. So why a sequel?
Well, good question, Scott. Although he does take the tact of saying, look how far we've come, particularly focusing on renewable energy and how countries literally are going 100% renewable and getting away from fossil fuels and the sort of thing that he's trying to keep it positive this time. It's not all doom and gloom, but he certainly does follow up with some I told you so moments in this movie, you know, about what has happened, whether it's the New Jersey flooding from the hurricane or other disasters around the world. So, you know, he's couching this sequel with some good news, but also seriously bringing us up to speed on some of the bad stuff that's happened too.
Now, why a documentary in August?
Good question. I mean, the timing of this probably is not working out for him and for the movie itself. It's been playing around the country and not getting much results at the box office. So I don't know if the mood has changed or it's the wrong time of the year or people just are tired of hearing about it or, you know, the new politicians in Washington trying to still stick their head in the sand. I don't know what's going into the lack of success on this one. The timing and all, I don't know that there's any rhyme or reason, Scott.
Now, you mentioned the box office. What's the critical acclaim for it?
Good. It's up close to 80% fresh from Rotten Tomatoes, and he's got a little different. He's got a different director this time, but it's still essentially Al Gore, the star, the narrator. You know, showing clips and graphs and that sort of thing. And I think overall, critics leaning left as they do, they agree that this is an important topic, still an important topic. And you know, again, given the current political climate, this voice needs to be heard.
All right. And then turning to horror thrillers, Annabelle Creation.
Yeah. this is the prequel, Scott. I'm getting into this universe of Annabelle and The Conjuring and the films produced and directed by James Wan. And he's certainly got the Midas touch now when it comes to horror movies and working at the box office. And he's got this whole creepy possessed doll thing going that is like so beyond what I enjoy when I go to movies that I have not delved deep into this, but this is the origin story of Ovid. The doll got possessed.
And this is, you know, this is something that in literature, there's a short story and I can't remember the title of it, but I read it, that it was published in a book called The Weird, which was edited by Anne and Jeff Vandermeer, who are two of the finest editors in speculative fiction. And the story was from the early 1900s or the late 1890s about a doll that's in a house that comes to life. So this is sort of a trope that's been around for a while.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's nothing new in Hollywood on a weekly basis, Scott, that's for sure. And yet the young college and high school age kids love to be scared in the movie theater. And when you get a crowd of people that's you know, reacting to jump cut edits and shock edits and you know, violence and terror on the screen, that's still a formula that works at the box office.
Now, the film that I'm looking at here opening that looks intriguing is The Glass Castle with Woody Harrelson, Naomi Watts, Brie Larson. Tell us about this.
Yeah, based on the bestseller, Brie Larson's character, flashing back from her, current success on a in a job in New York City, grew up with a family that was off the grid. Moved from place to place to try to keep ahead of the bill collectors or the tax man or whatever. An alcoholic father who thought, you know, going to school was for losers. You know, we're gonna educate our kids in the school of life, right? So she sort of rebelled against that, but then she coming to terms with that as an adult. The story flashing back to her childhood is what the Glass Castle story is about. Reminds me of Captain Fantastic with Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah,
I loved that movie, so I'm really looking forward to seeing the Glass Castle.
And what are you hearing critically?
The reviews are right in the middle here. It has gone from the 60s now to the about 48% from Rotten Tomatoes. So people either love it or hate it. It is a true story, though. So it's in a great cast, as you mentioned. I love Woody Harrelson. They made him look really young somehow in this movie. So it's a good cast and an interesting story to me.
Another sequel, The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature.
Yeah,
I take it this is a kid's film?
Yes, PG, animated 2D and 3D versions of that. As one critic calls it, colorful, kid-friendly, and occasionally laugh-out-loud funny. You know, the celebrity voices, Will Arnett did the lead critter in the first Nut Job movie, Katherine Heigl, Jackie Chan, other celebrity voices. This is about the Oaktown City Park animals saving their habitat from the amusement park developer. So that's the storyline on Nut Job 2.
Now, there's also an animated film, Batman and Harley Quinn. I take it this is not a big picture.
No, it's a what we call alternative content from Fathom, our supplier here, and it's the animated look at those two characters, it really looks like an interesting film from an animation standpoint. And of course, there's a lot of fans of Batman and Harley Quinn, whether you think back to last year's Suicide Squad or the Batman movies. So that's Monday night at several locations around Celebration Cinema Circuit.
And another one-night event, Riff Tracks, are going to make fun of Doctor Who.
Yeah, is this okay, Scott, with you?
That's fine with me.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
The five doctors. I'm not sure what...
I believe this is the episode where the five... where the different actors who played... So it's only a few years old. It's only a couple of years ago that this was happening, where it was like the end of one doctor and you get to see... all these actors that played the previous incarnations.
Okay.
And I'm not a major, I mean, I appreciate Doctor Who on a certain level, but it's not like making fun of Star Trek or something. Like that.
Right. Well,
but even there, I'm tongue in cheek. You can make fun of my stuff.
That's right. Well, that's what they're going to do. That's Thursday night at, again, several Celebration Cinema locations. More details on our webpage, celebrationcinema.com. You should see Detroit. I'm highly recommending that. I thought it was a terrifically well-made film, fascinating film. I really got a kick out of it.
Well, you know, the director, Kathryn Bigelow, mm-hmm. she is known for her more contemporary mm-hmm. films dealing with the Iraq War and Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
One of her first movies was called Near Dark. And it was about a family of vampires who travel around the country in a van. But they're the good guys in a way.
Right.
And this is a movie that goes back to either the late 80s or early 90s. So she's been doing phenomenal work for some time.
Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty. I was fascinated by that picture as well, her most recent. It really has not caught on at the box office nationally, but the Michigan market share was highly elevated this week by the box office on Detroit, particularly Detroit theaters. So it'll be hanging around, even though it was eighth place on its debut week here on wide release.
And 50 years after the Detroit riots,
yes,
it's released.
Exactly. And I really loved how she put a face on the story. I mean, we all know the story, but getting down deep into specific characters and an incident at the Algiers Hotel and the trial that followed, I thought was a great way to get into that story and get to know some of the people affected by the civil unrest in 1967.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
See you at the movies.